SBS Radio.
Whatamoorlie. I'm Kerry Lee Harding and this is NITV Radio. Coming up for you now, my yarn with author of Meeting the Whalo, Tiffany Shellam, who is also Associate Professor in History at Deakin University. And this book was recently announced as the winner of the Australian History category in the Prime Minister's Literary Awards 2020. It's a book many years in the making and offers readers a unique perspective of the history and encounters between Aboriginal men from the northwest of Australia and British explorers.
Well, it's been a long process, actually. I began this book 10 years ago and I started writing a different kind of book, a book that was solely based on archival sources, but I just came up and up against the kind of the limitations of the archive, and I really wanted to work with Indigenous communities to get an understanding of what they felt about this archive and these histories that the archive held. And so I guess it was that's perhaps why it took so long, because we had so many long conversations about these stories. It grew from there, I guess, yeah.
Can you tell us about the book and what readers can expect?
Yes, so the book is a story of three Indigenous men, Migo, who's from Swan River or Noongar country, Bungaree from Kulingai man from Broken Bay around Port Jackson, and Bundle, a Dharawal man. And these three men joined maritime expeditions in the early 19th century and voyaged to the northwest coast of Australia, so around today's Kimberley and Pilbara coastlines. And they were employed to work as intermediaries between the expeditionary crew and the Aboriginal people on shore. And their stories are incredibly rich. Their experiences of mediating with strangers, they didn't have shared language, and also life on board the ship and their role and their labour in expeditions. They're the central tenets of the story.
And tell me, what was the research process like to produce this book for you?
Yeah, well, it was long. It was a long research process. I spent a lot of time in archives in the UK where the Royal Navy expeditions of these ships belong or have been stored, and also in archives and libraries in Australia. My archival research reads against the kind of colonial grain that was intended by the archive. So I try to really search for ways in which I can locate stories and documents and sketches of these three Indigenous men. So that took a lot of time sifting through lots and lots and lots of letters, reports, journals, notes that the expedition created. But also the legacy of these expeditions are in places like art galleries where sketches of these intermediaries have turned up, and also in museums. So the British Museum holds some material from these early encounters with Aboriginal people in the northwest and these intermediaries, and some of the artefacts are stored in the British Museum today.
Wow, that's extraordinary. I was only at the British Museum last year and I didn't see anything on display, unfortunately. Yeah.
No, they don't have it on display. It's in storage, so it's hard to locate again. These things are hard to find unless you really know where you're looking. And yeah.
What an amazing experience you've had thus far. Why is it so important that we have these historical stories told to readers?
I think for me these stories are important because they tell a different story about this early colonial period where exploration is often told as a story of the heroic white man, beating back nature on his own or with another small group of other white men below him. The hierarchical nature of the expedition is very strong in those stories. And that what gets left behind or left out is a huge amount of Indigenous involvement and work that Indigenous men, mostly men, some women too, but men did in these expeditions. But those stories are not present in history books today, and I really wanted this book to reveal those incredible experiences of these men that travelled and worked hard to mediate and to save the crew from violence or hostile situations, as well as finding them water and helping them understand the collections that they were making, like the botanical collections. They gave their cultural knowledge to the botanists, for example, and those collections now held in scientific institutions around the world. All those stories are not included in these more conservative narratives, I guess.
What did you gain personally from researching and writing this book?
I gained a lot from this book. I mean, it took me a long time to write and to research. I think what I found really the most exciting part and the most enjoyable was working with Indigenous communities who relate to these stories. So I worked with Wangatu, Nalama, Injibandi and Yabarara people in the northwest. I worked with Menang people, Noongar people in the southwest, and also working with Indigenous artists such as Warwick Keane, John Mundine and Leah Tobin, who have, with their own creative practices, represented these intermediaries like Bungaree in their artworks. And so taking the archive to these communities really was so exciting because the kind of conversations that could happen once we kind of had the archive there in front of us to work with was really extraordinary and showed me that the colonial archive is never going to be enough. It's got serious limitations and working with community is really exciting.
And vital as well to be able to share our stories from our point of view, if you like.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's no way I could have written the stories in this book and shaped them in the way that I did if I hadn't had that guidance. And also there are, I think, hopefully exciting things that come from this work, this collaboration as well. So, for example, one of the watercraft that the Yabarara people in the northwest used to use isn't made anymore. And I took the earliest sketches from 1818 that I found in the archive to the community there, and they now want to use those sketches and the descriptions of that watercraft by the explorers to recreate this watercraft again, so to perhaps renew that kind of practice that had been lying dormant for a little while. And so that's very exciting to me, that there are so many possibilities of working with the community in that way.
How did you feel when it was announced your book won the Australian History category in the Prime Minister's Literary Awards for 2020?
Oh, I felt completely overwhelmed, really, really surprised and absolutely thrilled. Yeah, really, really thrilled. I still can't believe it.
And what has been some of the feedback that you've had from readers?
Yeah, well, the book was only published a year ago and we've been in COVID for this whole year, so I haven't really been in touch with a lot of people, but I've had a couple of reviews which have, yeah, I think they've been incredibly interesting. It's always nice to see how people read your work and what they take from it compared to what you might have thought when you wrote it. So I think it's been great to see how people have enjoyed the kind of story of the archive and of the work that I've been doing. Yeah, I think they've found it very, very interesting.
Well, we'd like to congratulate you on winning the Prime Minister's Literary Award for 2020 in the Australian History category. May you keep up the good work and thank you for joining us on NITV Radio today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.